So good to have you tonight here on this cold evening. When I went home Monday, got on Sam's gap. We know if we were going to make it or not. It was really snowing along there. And my wife kept saying, slow down. But you know, going 10 mile an hour, well, it's not a good idea. No, I didn't go that slow, but we were glad to get there and get back home. And then today, we were thankful as we got on the gap, everything was just fine. Good to see you tonight. Manna. I want to talk about manna tonight. I want to take your Bibles and go to the book of Exodus 16. I was thinking about the Word of God a lot the last few days in my heart, mind. Of course, I read it regularly. It is not as important as I get into the Word of God as the Word of God gets in me, makes the necessary changes in my life. And then I got thinking about manna. Manna is symbolic of two great truths. One of them is the incarnate Word, the Lord Jesus. It also pictures the inspired Word, the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Word of God. So tonight, I want to give you 10 full picture of what the Bible pictures tonight. You brought your Bible, amen? And it's just we take it for granted. We really do, I think, at times. You know what? It's interesting, if we lose our phone, we all get upset. Be back with you in a minute. From overeating. How's this go on here, preacher? I am not too mechanical. Oh, it just slips down?
It does.
Thanks for making me look bad. Appreciate that. Thank you. Get rid of him. No, we need him. We need him. And so I want you to look here at 10 full picture of the manna. And I want you to take your Bibles and go to Exodus 16. And we'll drop down to verse 4, if I can. No, verse 3 and 4. And the children of Israel, verse 3 of chapter 16, said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." You can write by verse 3, that's a lie. They had a pretty good starvation diet. They didn't have much to eat, and they worked themselves, the Egyptians worked them. But here verse 4. "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread down from heaven." And the Bible is the bread of life. "I will rain bread down from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove that whether they will walk in my law or not." Now that's manna. Now let me say some things about the Bible tonight. Manna was supernatural. God brought it down from heaven, a supernatural gift. Here they were starving, they had no food to eat, and God brought manna down from heaven. Let me say to this, the Word of God is so supernatural. It came down from heaven, and I draw your attention. As a matter of fact, turn a couple references. We'll be turning to different references, but go to the book of Psalm 78 for just a moment. And then we'll look at Numbers a minute, chapter 11. But look there in verse 55 of chapter 78, if you will, please. That doesn't sound right. Oh, verse 25. 78, verse 25. "And man did eat" what? Angel food. Wow. "To he sent them meat to the full." Now, my wife makes angel food cake now and then. Matter of fact, if my wife makes, I love deviled eggs. How many love deviled eggs? At our home, you don't call them deviled eggs. You give the devil no credit. You call them angel eggs. That's what we have. And we have, even if we have devil's food cake, we have angel food cake. We don't want to give the devil any credit. And here I see that the word of God here, they ate angel food. That's what you do. You eat of the word of God. And then go to the book of Numbers for a moment, because here it is, the supernatural thought of the word of God in Numbers 11. And turn there with me, if you will, please. And Numbers 11, and look there, if you will, please, in verse 8 of chapter 11. I'll get it here. And the people went abroad and gathered it. Let's go back to verse 7. And the manna, which was a coriander seed, and the color thereof, and color of bitum. And the people went out and gathered and ground it in meals of, and beat it in mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the fresh taste of fresh oil. Now in the Bible, oil was always symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And when I pick this book up here, I taste of the Holy Spirit. I taste fresh oil, a supernatural gift from God. And I want you to see that. Secondly, I want you to see it only supernatural gift from God, but it came down where the people are. I like this. Look there in chapter, go back to Numbers chapter 16. I'll try it again. Exodus chapter 16. And look there in verse 13 and 14. Don't miss this. In verse 14 and 15. And when the, look at verse 14. And when the dew that lay was going up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as hoarfrost, on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it's manna, for they wist not what it was. They didn't know what to call it, so they called it manna. You know what that word manna means? What's this? What's this? When I think of the word of God, I first heard about the word of God as a kid. I said, what is that book? What is that? And I've read it through even before I got saved. But I'm thankful it came to where the people were. It came down all the way from heaven, and it came to where the people were. I was thinking about the inspiration of Scripture. Now, we take the inspiration of Scriptures for granted, really. I want you to know that. But I want you to notice that both the Old Testament and the New Testament has validity by the statements that you find from our Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So it came to where the people, it's supernatural. Turn with me to the New Testament for just a moment and go to the book of Luke for a moment. And when you go to Luke, I want you to turn there to Luke 21. And I want you to notice what our Lord said about the Bible that you hold tonight. And this is why we have to hold to preservation. We got to. Because verse 33 says here in chapter 21, and heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words. And by the way, this is not the word of God. This is the words of God. Every word is inspired and preserved. He doesn't say heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not. My words. Such an important statement that we want to note here. Our Lord is talking here about the inspiration of Scripture. They may all pass away, but and then go to Luke 24. I know I got you all over the Bible, but that's okay. It's okay. You need some exercise tonight anyway. This will help you. You'll probably gain or lose 2 or 3 pounds turning all over the Bible tonight. Go to Luke 24 and verse 44. And our Lord is speaking. Now he says something here that you may not see on the surface. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled which was written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Now, what is the first book of the Bible? What is it? What is the last book of the Old Testament? You're going to get this one wrong. What is it? Not Malachi. It is in your Bible. But when our Lord wrote this, he is talking about the Jewish setup of the Bible. The last book of the Bible was 2 Chronicles. Matter of fact, the Old Testament is divided in the prophet. Notice what he says here in verse 44 concerning the law of Moses. That's the first five books, right? All right, okay. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And then he says here, and the prophets. Now the prophets in the Jewish book, and he's writing this concerning the Jewish Bible that day. They are eight books. Joshua, Judges, Samuel was considered one. Kings were considered one. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the minor prophets. There are 12 of those. So those are eight books made up the prophets. And then he's talking about here the Psalms. You think of the book of Psalms. He's saying more than that. He's not just talking about, he's talking about the poetic books, Job through Proverbs. And then he's talking about what they call the five rules, R-O-L-L-S, Song of Solomon, Ruth, Lamentation, Ezekiel, and Esther. And then the three last books were Daniel and Ezra and Nehemiah were together, and the Chronicles. So he's talking here, he's given absolutely total recognition that there is those books in the Old Testament, all the way from Genesis, all the way to Chronicles. Now, your last book of the Bible is Malachi. That's how we've arranged it, but that's not how it was arranged when our Lord Jesus Christ made this statement. Something else, okay, he spoke some things about the Old Testament. How do we know that the New Testament? Thank you for asking me. Let's go to the book of John for a moment, and it's not far away. So we're talking about this, what God did to just show that his stamp of approval on the inspiration of Scripture. And I want you to go here to the book of John, excuse me. Yeah, book of John. I want you to go to chapter 14, if you will, please. Now, he says in verse 16, and this whole chapter in verse 14 is really basically about the Holy Spirit. Who wrote this Bible? Who wrote it? Holy Spirit. Now, we do believe in dual authorship. God spoke to the Holy Spirit through what? We'll see that in a moment. Through human sources. Through men. But they were all led, and they never said one word, never wrote one word down here that the Holy Spirit didn't tell them to write. Every word is from the Holy Spirit. But notice what he said. All right, we got the Old Testament. Jesus made these wonderful remarks about the Old Testament. Now, how about the New Testament? Look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter. And it's with a C, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. And by the way, that took place on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came to indwell people. In verse 18, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless. That word comfortless means I don't leave you as an orphan. We're not orphans. We got a family. And the Holy Spirit of God birthed us into that family. But now look here, if you will, go down here, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now where do you find the words that Jesus talked to his disciples about? What books are those? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right, you got the Gospels. Jesus, the Holy Spirit made sure that each person wrote those books and had those situations there are under the power of the Holy Spirit. So we got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right, let's go over here. Let's go over here to chapter 15 for a moment and look with me at verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, that's the Holy Spirit, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. You shall bear witness. What book gives witness of what Jesus Christ did to the church? What? Acts? Yeah, you shall have power after the Holy Spirit, and you shall be what? Witnesses. So you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. All right? Are you with me now? I just want you to see these are written in such a way that the Holy Spirit of God, he wants you to know that God himself has made statements about what is the Scriptures. All right? Now turn with me, if you will, to the same book here. I'll go to chapter 16 now and look there in verse 13. Look at verse. However, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will what? Guide you in all truth. Now, all the Bible is truth. Amen. What specific books give you doctrine so strong that you teaching doctrine? What are those books? The epistles. That's what he's talking about here. And then he says here, and verse 13 doesn't mean the other books don't have truth. Amen. But that's where doctrine comes in. Doctrine makes the difference. I thank God for every epistle that is written. I can go there and I can establish great truths on doctrines. And then, verse 13 again, let's read it. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. By the way, that does away with the charismatic movement. Holy Spirit is not here to exalt himself. He is here to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to get that. But who whatsoever hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you what? Things to come. What book is that? What book gives the things to come? Book of Revelation. So there is authority in the Bible itself about all of the books of the Bible. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ and the words here from the Holy Spirit through John. And so we see here, God used, and I want you to now turn over to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter, I'll get to it in a minute. Stay with me. 2 Peter, go there. 2 Peter, and look with me, if you will, chapter 1. Be good if I got there. Look at verse 19 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Now, who's writing this? Peter. Wherein you do well that you take heed into the light that shineth in a dark place, to the day dawn, and in the day to rise. The day star arise in your hearts. Now, just before this, Peter talks about the transfiguration. He talked about walking with Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. Did you ever think about the fact that the things that Peter said, some things later on, he'd forget about them? How many can remember everything you've done in your past? Kind of hard, isn't it? I'm having a hard time getting through the day. He said, we have a sure word of prophecy. I said, Peter, no doubt, sat down many times with converts and told him about the days he and Jesus Christ walked this earth together. That'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? But those things after a while fade away. And Peter's dead. So those things are often forgot, except what the Holy Spirit had him write down through the writers. Now look with me here, a sure word. We got a sure word. My wife will say to me sometimes when I'll tell a story, she'll say, "Now, honey, I don't remember it that way." I said, "Well, honey, you got a memory problem." You just got a memory problem. and Susan will be in the back seat of the car and say, "Dad, Mom's right." That's not quite the way I remember it happening. Well, I said, "You two have a memory problem." But those folks, we all can have memory problems, but God has put down certain things that are there permanently, never to be forgotten. Knowing this verse, verse 20, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. We go to a smorgasbord about once a year. That's all we can handle. How many of you like smorgasbords? I can tell. Anyway, some of you do. And when I go there, Marilyn says, "Now, honey, get your salad first." Well, that's not the first thing I want. That's the last thing I want. And then I tell her, "Honey, I'm too full to have my salad." I mean, I want the stuff that I want, and I leave the other stuff. You know, that's what sometimes people do with the scriptures. They leave out the things they really need to just to get some of the things they think they need. Now, that's not the Bible, folks. But notice what he says here, and this is key. We believe in two people responsible for this book. Knowing this, that prophecy, no prophecy scripture of any private interpreter, for the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, every word that Paul wrote, he never wrote one word that wasn't directed by the Holy Spirit. Every word. And matter of fact, I see Paul's personality in his epistles. You see his personality? I do. I see Peter's personality in his. I see John in his. God allowed these human personalities to be included in the writing so it wouldn't just be God's own ideas. What I mean is, he used that man's personality, and yet every word written was under the guise and protection of the Holy Spirit. So it's dual authorship. Here's God having man, using man, making sure he writes down every word, every man, holy men, more than just being filled with the Holy Spirit, but controlled to say every word that God wanted them to say, and nothing more and nothing less. I thank God that we have a supernatural Bible that came down to us, secondly, as God used men. Men, so that we have here God's Word. It was something else. Think with me. Go back to chapter 16 of our book here. It was supernatural gift, came to where the people were, came down to us. It was small in size. Look at chapter 16 again, and look at verse 14 and 15. And when the dew that was upon the was going up, behold, the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. Small. You know what I have here? I have the complete revelation of God in my hands. Wow. That is something. It's not only supernatural. It not only came down to man through human authors. It's very small. And so I have the most divine library, 66 books in my hand, and I can hold it. Wow. Don't you take this book for granted. Don't you take it for granted. Look at verse 31 again. Chapter 16. Now look at verse 31. And the house of Israel called the name of thereof manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey, white. It speaks of purity. If you go to chapter 11 of Numbers, it's interesting. When God bring that manna down from me, you know what he did? You know where he put that ground? He didn't put that manna on the... Look at sometime Numbers 11, verse 9, chapter 11, verse 9. You know what he did? He put the frost down and it would land on there so it would be pure and white. Wow. God did everything he could to make sure man understood. It's a picture of that, of the Lord's Word of God. And it was, look at verse 31 again here in chapter 16. It is not only supernatural, came to where the people were. It was small in size. It was white in color, referring to its purity. But it was to be eaten. Look at verse 31. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was the white wafers made with honey. It was, oh, you know this book tastes good. It tastes good. Turn to Jeremiah for just a moment. And turn to Jeremiah. I just lost it here. Chapter 15. That doesn't sound right. Did you ever write something down? You say, I don't think that's right. Yes, verse 16. Chapter 15, verse 16. I, thy words were found, and I did what? Eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Thy words were found, and I ate them. Psalm 119, verse 103 says, how sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Oh. Have you had a meal today? This is the meal to eat. This one won't put weight on, but it will satisfy you and give you joy. It is to be eaten regularly. And number six, it's not only supernatural. Came to where the people were and rained from heaven. Here men wrote the Bible through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Small in size, white in color, to be eaten. But it was to be gathered daily. Look at chapter 16. God did a tremendous example here, verse 18 and 19. Look at verse 18. And when they did meet it, it was Omer. He that gathereth much had nothing left over, and he that gathereth little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Now, according to his eating. You know, some folks today, they weren't to leave it till morning. It's so symbolic. You can't live on yesterday's experiences. Don't try to live on yesterday, what you got out of the word yesterday. That's what a lot of people do. It's according to every man's eating. Now, we got some folks today that, they think a verse a day will keep the devil away. That's not quite true. They got those who do not gather it and enjoy it. I'm not going to ask for you to stand, but I wonder how many in this auditorium tonight have not read their Bible through, by the end of this year, not read it through this year. I'm not going to have you stand up, but I think it's a tragedy. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Believe it's inspired? Do you believe you need it? You need to eat it? Well, eat it. Get into it. Now, I understand you get the First Chronicles. It's not a lot of fun to read First Chronicles, is it? How many enjoy First Chronicles? I'd get no blessing out of time at First Chronicles. And certain verses reach out. I mean, when so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so, give me names I can't even pronounce. Why do you read it? Because it's God's Word. It's God's Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration. God put it down. I'm going to read it. You know, obedience is one of the greatest blessings you can get. It just satisfies you. I get satisfaction out of reading the book of Numbers when they list all those people. And do you try to pronounce the name? I mean, I scan through them. But I got news for you. Every one of those names have significant meaning, by the way. If you go into Hebrew, you find a lot of them have meaning that can apply to our lives. If you just study it. Just get it off of Scripture. Get it into your heart. And so we see. I've read my Bible through already today. Already this week, or this year, pardon me, and I'm now working on Psalms, I'm working on Job, and working on Proverbs. I just like it, and then starting January, I start Genesis and go all the way through. I'm not bragging. Please, I need it maybe more than you. I don't know, but I need it. It's be gathered daily. Be gathered daily. It was be gathered. Look at verse 18 again of chapter 16. It was be gathered by stooping down. Notice that. You know when something, when they did, he said they gathered it. The word gather is mentioned here in the verse 18, in verse 17 and 18 three times. How did they gather that? Anybody want to tell me how they gathered that? They stooped down and get it, right? That Hannah didn't, Manna didn't say, I'm supernatural, I'll just come up to you. Oh, no. Listen to me, that speaks of humility. Humility. To stoop down. And stoop, realize you need God's word. And by the way, if you can go day in and day out and not get in it, you are not humble. And God knows how to make us humble, doesn't he? Oh, just stoop down. Get off of our pedestal of self-sufficiency, thinking we can get along without the Bible, without God's word. Now, I'd have a hard time today, thank God. I was working Monday. Wade called me and probably thought I was out of breath. I was. I was out there working in the back. I call it the back 40. It's not. I got that extra. I'm cleaning that extra egg, and I have my chickens out while I'm out there. I had four. I got two left. Two died. I kind of watch them while I'm out there working, and they kind of like being around me. And by the way, when I got my chickens obey me better than some of you people do the Lord. I say, girls, time to go home. Back in the pen they go. Isn't that great? Pat me on the back. But I'm out there and I'm cleaning. And Marilyn, when I went in a couple times, she said, how you doing? I said, if I didn't have to stoop over. That's the hardest part. I just wish all those branches and leaves and everything that I'm trimming out of that property would just come and jump into my truck. That'd be a great miracle, Lord. Lord said, you don't need it. Gather it. So I do it while the chickens watch me. Humble ourselves. Wow. Number seven, the manna was gathered. I was really part of number seven, but number eight, the manna was gathered by laboring. It was labor. I tell you, when I worked yesterday, it was laboring. I enjoyed it, though. It was cold. I just got out there. I had me a ball. I enjoy it. How many like working in the yard? The rest of you get right. Get right. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians or 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, by laboring. Now I want you to see this. We got too many shallow Christians in our churches. Really. Look what he says here in verse 15 of chapter 2. I didn't say this church, I said our churches. Study. The word study comes from a word which literally means to labor to the extent where you perspire. Study to show thyself approved to God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This verse begins with perspiration and it ends with inspiration. The way to get inspired from God is to go after it. Is to go after it. So he's reminding us in this, and I got to quit here in a minute, but I want you to see that it was gathered by labor. It was gathered according to each eating. I've already made that point, but you know, some people would just gather a little. Well, some people would gather more. You ought to get all of us ought to get a systematic way to study this Bible to where we're getting something out of it and getting something into us from God's Word. We need to come to that place where it was gathered according to our eating. They tried gathering it for the next day. I've already said you can't do that. And notice finally, this Bible, this manna, which speaks of our Bible, supernatural. came to where the people were. Man was involved in this writing. Small in size, white in color, speaking of its purity. To be eaten, not just to have it, but to be eaten. Gathered daily. Be gathered by stooping, humbling ourselves. Gathered by laboring, and it was gathered according to everyone's eating. Some would gather some would gather little. How about this? 40 years. I think Moses' mother, Mrs. Moses, had the first cookbook. You know, 52 ways how to prepare manna. You know, I mean, going every day. What do kids say? What are we going to have for lunch, Mama? What do you think we're going to have, son? We're going to have manna. Need it every day. But here's the interesting part as I close tonight. Look at Numbers. I'm sorry, I need to get going here, don't I? But I'll close eventually. Numbers 11. Look there with me. And verse 4. And the mixed multitude. You know, folks, this is why I am so happy the way you bring members into this church. The worst thing you can have is a mixed multitude as membership of your church. Those who are saved, those who are not saved. Those who love this book and don't love this book. Those who want to make this church part. Look what he says here in the and the mixed multitude was gathered, or was that was among them, fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? You know why they were dissatisfied with the manna? Because of the mixed multitude. We don't need the Bible today. We just need programs. We just need anything but this. There is no substitute for this book. And the preacher who comes here must make this book the preeminent part of your ministry. And the mixed multitude comes in. They want this. They'd rather have singspirations. They'd rather have praise music. They'd rather have drama. They'd have anything but this. We want to protect our churches from the mixed multitudes. Father, thank you tonight for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You come, and I didn't give you a lot of time, but you'll do it anyway, right? Appreciate Daniel. They had a choice, either he or me lead the choir. I can't understand why they chose him over me. We all know why.
Just a couple things for you to think about as we have just a few moments of prayer this evening, and then we'll have Brother Marty Scroggs will have an announcement for us here in just a minute. But if you do have a prayer bulletin with you, let me encourage you to get it out and just write these names in. We're going to pray primarily for those who have some health needs this evening, and also pray for our events that are coming up in the church. And so if you have that and you want to write these down, that way we can pray for them. And I'll pray here in just a moment for these. But Richard Smith, this is a request from Charlotte Bryant. This is the Bryant's neighbor's father, has a broken hip. We don't know where he's at in particular, but he is somewhere here in the area, and they're just asking prayer for him. And then especially pray for Laura Moore. Laura has a rare type of cancer. It's a relatively aggressive type of cancer. There's been no chemo done yet. They did have a port. She did have a port put in earlier this week, and they're doing some scans and an ultrasound to try to figure out exactly what needs to be done. But just pray for her. Pray that the Lord would touch her body, and pray that the any news that's uncovered would be positive news. They do ask for no visits, but phone calls are welcome. And let me encourage you to just call her, especially in these coming days, and just let her know you're praying for her, and reach out to her in any way that you can. Chemo may begin sometime next week, treatments of some sort. And so just keep her in your prayers. Pray also for Charlie Moore. Charlie has been in the hospital and is still there. They're trying to get him ready to NHC. Okay. All right. So they were trying to get it lined up, and so going to rehab. And so pray for Charlie. He's had this setback, and it's all come down on them all at once. Bob and I were there with him yesterday, and just pray for them. Pray that God would encourage them. Pray that God would touch them bodily as well. And then continue to remember Brother Mineta. Brother Mineta had surgery today, like I said earlier in the service, and he is home. Yes, he is home, and things went well with it. But just pray that he would recover well from this procedure. Miriam Wharton is having surgery next Wednesday, and then also Ethan Farless is having surgery in Knoxville next Wednesday. And so some things to pray about as we have some health needs as well. And then let me challenge you to make the events here in our church a matter of prayer. As we get ready for Gift Sunday, just pray. Pray that God would lead you to someone to invite. It's going to be a good time. You can encourage anybody that just to come with you. And if they're in your Sunday school class with you, they'll get a gift where they are. And if they're somewhere else, they'll get a gift where they are. And so just encourage people to be here this Sunday. And especially for the Christmas Cantata, as that is the following weekend. And I really want to challenge you. I think if you've not grabbed any of these yet, when you leave, just get some of these tracks. They're on the table in the lobby. Just get some of them and begin to pray that God would lead you to someone to invite. If you already know who you would like to invite and you've not invited them yet, let me encourage you, before you even invite them, to pray. Pray that God would prepare their hearts. Pray that God would help them to receive the invitation well, and just begin to pray. Because this is me handing a tract to someone is what I can do. But you praying that God would work in their hearts is initiating what God wants to do. And so you don't want to try to do this by yourself, because this little piece of paper is not going to change someone's life. But God will. And so just begin to pray. And I really encourage you, and God wants to use you in this regard. You never know how far a track will go. I remember a pastor I worked for up in Pennsylvania. Somebody left a track. It was either on their car windshield or on a counter at a gas station, and his stepdad picked it up and got saved. And now he's a pastor of a church that runs over 1,000 people because his dad got saved because someone put a track somewhere where he would find it. And so you just never know. And so take some and just pray that God would use them, and God can use those things in that way. So I'm going to pray now for these health needs. I'm going to pray for the events coming up, for the people that I've invited, that you're inviting. And then as soon as I say amen, Brother Scroggs, you can come. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the opportunity that we've had to be here tonight. Lord, I do thank you for this message. Thank you for your word. Lord, none of us would be here without your word. And so we're so thankful, and we praise you for what you've given us. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless our church and help us to be a church that is a biblical church. And Lord, I just pray you would work in that regard. I do pray for these special prayer requests. Pray for Richard Smith with his broken hip. I pray for recovery quickly there. And for the Moores, Lord, I pray for Laura as she awaits news and tries to process everything that's going on. And Lord, has these scans and tests and all that's going on for her. I pray that you would strengthen her and encourage her. And Lord, I pray that you would help the cancer to be to not be advancing, but Lord, that they would have caught it and be able to help her with treatments, show them what to do. And Lord, I pray you'd raise her up. I pray for Charlie that you would encourage him as well. And Lord, I pray that as he transitions to a rehab facility, that you would help him to get the care that he needs, to be strengthened there, and to be able to return home as well. And just pray that you would encourage that couple today, and pray that you bless them as they have blessed many in this church and many all around this country, and I'd say even around the world, through their ministry and their heart for you. And just pray you bless them today and this evening. Pray for Brother Mineta that you'd help him now as he recovers from this surgery. Lord, I pray you'd be able to, that he would be able to put this season of surgeries behind him. And Lord, I pray you'd raise him up, give him the strength to do what you've called him to do. And Lord, help us to rally around these in our church that need encouragement at this time. I pray for these surgeries that are upcoming for Miriam Wharton as she has surgery on her shoulder next week. I pray you'd help that to go well. And for Ethan Farless, that you would encourage him and prepare him for the surgery and help the surgery to go smoothly and to take care of the situation that he's facing, and be with him and his family as they get ready for that. And Lord, I do want to pray for the special events coming up in our church. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as a church to be an active church, and as Dr. Stevens quoted this evening, being witnesses unto you. Lord, I pray that you would accompany us as we go. I pray that you would precede us where we'll go, and that you'd prepare the hearts of the people that we'll invite, and that the invitations would be well received, and that they would be effective. Lord, I pray we'd have guests here for these events because of the invitations that have been distributed by our church family. And Lord, I pray you'd work in a mighty way as the meetings take place on Gift Sunday and the nights of the Cantata. Lord, I pray you'd do a special work through these events. I pray people would be saved. I pray that people would be encouraged, that people would get back into church if they've been out of church. I pray you'd work through them, work through our church family. Work tonight, Lord. We pray you'd bless our church as you lead us forward. And I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, Brother.